This is the History of American Poems, and we're talking about children's poems. And we're up to a time period called the mid-century poets. And this is going to take us from the 1930s to about 1959. And this is going to be a very short section in the children's poetry class. But the irony is it's going to take us a lot of time when we hit this class and talk about quote-unquote adult poems, because this was a hugely productive period of time for American poets, and there's a ton of subgroup poets in this era of the mid-century, 1950s and before, a little bit before and after. And I mean, we have the postmodernists, or not the postmodernists, but the late modernists. We'll get to the postmodernists later. We have the late modernists, we have the beat poets, we have the New York School, and there's a long list of other groups, and we're going to take those one at a time when we get there. But as far as children's poetry, we have a much smaller set. We have the confessional. I forgot I left out the confessional poets. So you're going to recognize some of these, just a sprinkling of these poets in this segment. But we also are going to switch talking about children's essays from the Cambridge Anthology of American Poetry. We're leaving Angela Sorby, and we're moving into the essay by Joseph T. Thomas Jr. and some of his picks. Plus, I've added some commentary, and his essay is really great, and had a lot of children's poetry that I recognized and grew up with, and it basically went from where Angela Sorby left off in the 1930s up until when the Cambridge Anthology of American Poetry was published. So it surely included Dr. Seuss and Shel Silverstein, which we're going to get to later. And right now we're just talking about poets like Ogden Nash. And what I love about Ogden Nash's two poems that we're going to talk about, actually three poems, is that he was the first poem that I came across when I was putting this list together to write about brave girls as a dad to two girls. He had two daughters, and the first two poems that he wrote are about the ideas of the self and about growing up as a girl and trying to find your bravery as a girl. And I think that's just really amazing. And it was 1930s. Like, I'm shocked at how early some of these impulses and ideas were forming in children's poetry. So the first poem is called The Tale of Custard the Dragon, by 1936. And it's kind of about the false ideas we develop about ourselves and our self-definition. And it's the story of a dragon who doesn't really think he's all that dragony, and he's really not that self-confident, even after he does something pretty amazing. He goes back to his kind of like, I'm not so great self-identity. But another character in the poem is named Belinda. And Belinda was as brave as a barrel full of bears. So here we are starting to get a really feisty girl character. And that continues in the poem, The Adventures of Isabel, from sometime in the 1930s. She's a brave girl and she's unflappable. This is a pretty amazing poem about an unflappable girl. And it doesn't matter what the authority figure is. There is one authority figure that's a doctor, and she's shown to be... she stands up to the doctor. And this was an era of James Thurber-like humor, says Joseph T. Thomas Jr., and anxiety, and also all poetry. The site where I pulled the copy of the poem from down says it's also a poem about anxieties about control and competence that children have and how to deal with that. So the last poem by Ogden Nash is called The Cow, and it's from 1931, and it's about mock pretension and pragmatism. And I think any time that you write a poem that's mocking or Just mocking any kind of poem that you write that's making fun. I think that's definitely considered a site of conflict. You're trying to stir up some trouble. So I love the cow poem. It's very short, just a two-line poem. So, I also forgot about one of his poems called The Octopus. And it's considered almost a modernist poem because it's about the fragmentation of the self-identity. And so the modernists wrote a lot about fragmentation and uncohesiveness. So this poem sort of fits in that. It's kind of also experimental and about newness and discovery. So next we're going to move on to Theodore Rothke. He was kind of a late modernist. And he wrote a lot of children's poetry, but I couldn't find many examples of individual poems. I found two, The Bat from 1938 and The Sloth from 1958. And I think both of those are about defining the self and self-identity too. And next we're going to move on to Sylvia Plath, who wrote a poem for her children called The Bed Book, about different kinds of beds. And the version I found of the poem also includes the illustrations. And this poem is about, according to, including to our essayist, he's got a very long name that I cannot remember, Joseph T. Thomas Jr. It's about the perils of self-consciousness, and but I also think it's very imaginative, and it's about the multitudes of kinds of beds, the variety, big variety of kinds of beds, and so you can see that poem with the illustrations. The poem, the next poem is by Walt Kelly, and I was pretty excited to come across this name because my dad was a huge Pogo fan, and he was always trying to get us to read Pogo by Walt Kelly. It was a comic strip, and I never could get into it. But apparently he wrote some children's poems that were very popular too, including the poem called Deck Us All with Boston Charlie from 1948, which is a bastardization of Deck the Halls, the song, the Christmas song. And it's about an American rube, which is definitely American identity making there, an American characterization. And the other poem in there is called The Prince of Pompadoodle from 1962. And I have two versions. I have a text-only version, and I have another version with another link you can see that has the illustrations in it. But it's hard to read, so I included both of those in there. And that's about this. That second poem is about the cult of self and almost to the point of solipsism, which is this idea that only you exist, you're the only person in the world. So that's interesting poem, The Prince of Pompadoodle from 1962. So the last poet in this list is John Chardy. And in 1959, he wrote a poem called The Reason for the Pelican. And according to Joseph T. Thomas Jr. in his essay about children's poetry, he says this poem signaled a critical change in children's poetry. And Chardy was a critic and poet and a dark humorist, but that this poem criticizes the idea of a happy middle-class family. And this is very similar to what Edward Gorey is going to do pretty soon. And Edward Gorey happened to be his student. So there's a thread going here of writing children's poems, quote, against a Victorian over-seriousness. That's Joseph T. Thomas Jr. talking. I also like this idea of unpractical poems, being unpractical as a person, being unpractical as a American, being unpractical as a child, as being a challenge to authority, a challenge to order, just being messy. Thomas Jr. says this is also a masterclass in music and subversive humor and political use of humor. That Chardy wanted to, quote, see things out of whack to see how they can be in whack. So you have some nonsense too,
Well, we're still writing nonsense, and it's delightful. So that's our mid-century poets writing children's poems. And we're going to continue on now to the Gen X era, which was my era, otherwise known as postmodernism.